Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski. I am super excited because I have a really fun guest for us today. Everyone knows Amazon and everyone knows business, but I don't think that you know business like this man. So joining us today is John Rossman. So John helped build Amazon Marketplace from scratch. He then took that playbook to the C-suite of giants like the Gates Foundation and T-Mobile. He is the strategic leader's call when a digital big bet must pay off. He's the best-selling author of The Amazon Way, Think Like Amazon, and his latest hit, Big Bet Leadership, which shows how to think big, bet small, and scale real fast. So get ready for a real crisp customer obsessed lesson that you can act on today. Before we get started, I just remind you, please hit like and subscribe because we need to keep growing to provide you with more amazing guests like John. It is really good to meet you.
Lisa, I'm humbled by your introduction. So thank you. Nice to get to know you.
Well, I'm humbled that you're sitting here and we get to have this conversation because all of your accomplishments are just so absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you. But of all of them, the thing I'm most proud of is the incredible family and kids and wife and kind of life that I've been able to design and build, coming out of pretty humble beginnings, and everything. I just am so grateful that I've lived in an era where you can be a builder and anybody can have the opportunity to, kind of think big and accomplish things if you stay persistent to it.
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head is consistency. Before we start talking about the business world, why don't you introduce yourself for the audience?
Sure. So, John Rossman, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. I went to Oregon State. I studied engineering. I've always been interested in efficiency and integration. Like, how do things actually work? Data, systems, people, motivations, incentive systems. Like, how does work actually get done? And I've had a really fun and I would say largely unplanned career relative to doing that. One of the key junctures was, as you mentioned, I got to be an early leader at Amazon. So I was there for 4 years, 2002 through 2005. I played a key role in launching the marketplace business. So that is third parties selling at Amazon.com. Today, that's between 55 and 60% of all units shipped and sold.
Wow.
Just as a little reminder of what Amazon was like in 2002. So in 2002, 90% of Amazon's business was books, music, video. We had our first billion-dollar quarter in holiday of 2002. Today, Amazon is roughly a $680 billion revenue organization. There was no
Wow.
AWS, there was no Prime, there was free everyday shipping was like the promotion. We were being referred to as Amazon.com, Amazon.toast, and Amazon.org because we obviously didn't know how to make money. And the stock was between $5 and $12 a share. That's Amazon in
Wow.
2002. I left Amazon in late 2005. I was a partner at a really great management consulting firm, Alvarez & Marsal, for 12 years. And it was really on the prompting of some of my clients that were like, man, you do such a nice job of appropriately and delicately taking concepts from Amazon and inserting them into our situation. And one of them was like, you should write a book. So I talked him into actually being my partner on this book. His name's Greg Shaw. He's actually a well-known author and publisher now, and everything. And we released The Amazon Way in 2014. We've done three editions of that book, translated into 12 different languages. And so new opportunities started to come my way, including keynote speaking. So today I kind of do keynote speaking, I do advisory work With clients, I will do a little bit of consulting work. I have a set of very trusted friends who know my playbook very well that we work through and everything. But you know what I do is I help my clients solve really hard business and kind of how we work problems and to build systems, leadership techniques, mechanisms, beliefs so that they become not just a world-class operator, but they develop the other side of the playbook, which is the ability to actually innovate and transform. You need both of those playbooks to be a company, not just of size, but of durability. I'm interested in like, how do you win long-term in a business, regardless of size? And it's by being both a world-class operator and the ability to evolve, the ability to change. And so that's what I
Right.
do today.
Wow. I love that. So you are like a strategic thinker at its max. Like you're a strategic thinker on
I'm all clean.
steroids.
There's no artificial substance here. So,
We did a
yes.
drug test before he got on the
That's
show. He's
right.
good, I
That's right.
promise.
That's right.
Wow. What a story. So I don't know. I have so many questions. I guess what are some of the common themes that you see with companies that fall apart? You know, there's this vision and it looks so good, but then things start slowly unraveling. Like, what are those little pieces of fiber that start unraveling?
Yeah, well, you nuanced it really correct, which is they start falling apart slowly, right? And then quickly at the end, but it's the slowly piece. And the most dangerous place to be is to be a successful company. And the reason why is because you start developing an arrogance, a hubris, as Warren Buffett frames it, the ABCs of corporate decay: arrogance, bureaucracy, complacency. And you start, you know, kind of believing that you've got it figured out, right? And so
Yes.
you stop truly listening to your customers, you stop caring as much, and you lose the entrepreneurial juice that got you here in the first place, which is around calculated risk taking, right? So you stop taking calculated risks. And that begins the decay cycle of so many great companies. Listen to this set of category leading companies who have suffered from their version of disruption and decay, right? So listen to this set of companies: Boeing, Disney, Intel, Nike, Starbucks, right? Like those are gold standard brands. Those are the best, the category definers, the category leaders, who as of today are all struggling for their various reasons of corporate decay. And are they're definitely down on the downslope. The question is, will they be able to reverse it? The history of being able to reverse it is not very good, right? My central belief is that there's just a few leaders out there who have built a system for like, how do we renew our business and how do we focus on the inputs of doing that, not just the outputs of it and everything, right? So my co-author, Kevin McCaffrey, who ran new business incubation at T-Mobile, we worked for and studied who we think are the select few business leaders who've really figured out a system for doing that. That's Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, largely unpopular for a lot of reasons today, but man, as a
Brilliant.
business innovator and everything, he knows how to get it
Yeah.
done. John Legere of T-Mobile and Satya Nadella of Microsoft. And the book Big Bet Leadership is based off of both our practical experience of putting in a new system of transformation and incubation at T-Mobile, as well as studying those Big Bet legends. And the general thesis of the book is we believe that what those four Big Bet legends do differently than really good business leaders is three habits relative to transformation, right? So relative to change.
Right.
They create clarity, first and foremost. They do not suffer from vague notions of innovation or customer satisfaction or digital transformation. Like, they get to the pain point and the hypothesis of what they think the future state is. And they get anchored on that really early, and they will not proceed until they have that. We call that the big bad vector, the problem, the hypothesis for the future state. That's the first thing. Second thing is they maintain velocity. All of these initiatives and projects, they always start off with commitment and vigor and, we're
Totally.
all in and everything, but they quickly slow down into just another project, just another task. They lose priority. And so
Yeah.
there's a lot of things that people do that select people do to maintain focus and maintain velocity. The third thing they do, and this is the most disorienting for people, is they accelerate risk and value testing, deferring big commitments until they've proven it out, right? That's called experimentation. But the way people experiment, they tend to experiment on the non-critical things. And it's not until the end when you go, oh, this was the real risk. This was the real issue. So there's a way of kind of breaking things down to identify the really critical risks, and then in a clever manner, finding ways to do a cheap experiment on them. That's what the whole basis of the book then is, like, how do we put those three habits into motion? But that kind of sets up the whole book of Big Bet Leadership.
What is some like? Is there a common trait of someone who can think that way? Like a business person who sees that and who is able to let go of control and who wakes up every day and they're like, I know nothing. I'm here to learn. Like, what is that person? Who is that person?
Well, first, I would say it's not about giving up control. In fact, they tend to be control freaks and everything.
Ah.
But here's the one habit that is a pure Amazon habit that that really good leaders tend to do is they write. So Amazon talks about working backwards, writing narrative memos, starting with the customer in mind, starting with the end in mind, and working backwards. But
Okay.
writing out a situation, even if you don't share it with anybody, will create clarity in your thinking, and you will think different. And the power of that goes up exponentially if you share it among other. Right now, we're really thinking through a situation. So simple situations, simple problems, you don't need to have that degree of kind of rigor or approach. But if it's a tough situation, a tough problem, or a big investment, a big bet, what do investment advisors do? They write memos. What do PE investors do? They write investment memos. Writing memos is the way to think through hard things because it forces you, it shows the weakness in your thinking and what you understand, and it's the ability to scale it to others. So that's, to answer your question, that's one fundamental technique that if you have a situation, write it out. It's like journaling, right? Like
Yeah, that's where
it's
my mind went. It's like, yeah, I
journal,
do. I
journal.
write when I have a problem.
Yeah, you're right. But and that's personal journaling. This is journaling for business impact, right? And again, the impact goes up exponentially, not linearly, exponentially, if you share it with others who are gaining alignment. So think about the concept of leadership, right? Like people like leadership, and everything. Like, it tends to be kind of a buzzword. It means something different to everybody. Here's what leadership is. Leadership is a skill. It's a skill to be able to guide and influence others in the accomplishment of a mission, right? So what I focus on, what I believe in, is that leadership isn't a God-given innate birthright or thing that's done. It's not about charisma. It's about your ability to understand the mission and then figure out skills and techniques to guide and influence others in that mission. Well, First thing to be clear on is it's a skill. So no matter where you're at, you can get better. B is that you have to really understand the mission and that different
Right.
types of missions require different leadership skills. And so one of the things I've learned in this career of mine is that, and back to your original question, like why do companies fail and everything, is what tends to happen is that really good operators tend to be promoted up and become the executives of the firms. But leadership skills for operation, although it sounds similar, are distinctly different than leadership skills needed for transformation, for reinvention, for
Right.
large-scale innovation and disruption. Two different leadership skills. And that's what we try to give to people through a variety of services and approaches that I've already talked about to help really good operational leaders improve their leadership skills for transformation.
You're right. Leadership, being a good leader, it's a buzz thing right now. It's a buzzword going around. I'm interested to know who your mentor was or is, or who taught you along the way.
Well, I mean, I had several great rants from Jeff Bezos along the way that I learned a lot from, but I've had a set of people, so a little personal, story and history is, my dad worked for the State Highway Department of Oregon. We lived in a very low middle class family. Both my parents were kind of World War II Depression era, I'll call them survivors, and everything, right? Like having ambition was not what the Rossman house was about and everything, right? I was told I was a troublemaker, and you'll be lucky to have a job. I was voted most likely to be a truck driver by my eighth grade class. That wasn't
Oh
meant to
my
be a
gosh.
compliment. Nothing against truck drivers, but that wasn't meant as a compliment and everything. But it was really a set of coaches and teachers at my high school that really started to trigger me, like, oh, like I can do stuff, and everything. And it wasn't because they believed in me. It was because they had expectations of me. They
Right.
expected me to be better. They expected me to accomplish anything. They set expectations. They set ambition for me. And so really my life has been a rewiring of like resetting my own ambition and expectation. And then, okay, how do I get there and everything? And that to me is the journey that so many people have to go through, which is not suffering from all the biases of short-termism and incrementalism and loss aversion and imposter syndrome, but actually thinking big and then creating a path to get there. And so I've had a, I mentioned a few at my high school in Beaverton, Oregon, Jesuit High School in Beaverton, Oregon, that really played a fundamental role in sparking me to get there. But then, I had college professors at, through my work life, I've had a number of people that I've worked for or worked around who, showed me, like, hey, here's all the little things that it takes to get hard things done. And that's the general story of anybody, right? It's not one thing, it's a set of little things.
Yeah.
One thing, so my co-author, Kevin McCaffrey, has really taught me the power of focus. And Kevin recommended a book to me called Essentialism, which is about the ability to say no to things so that you can say yes to the critical thing, right? And
Yeah.
keep, the whole essence of the book is keep the main thing the main thing. And that has been a new one in the past 5 years for me of like, I've always been kind of the yes man, like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. And there's been some power to that. But at this point for me, it's about being much more selective so that I can
Yes.
do the next important thing with focus. And so that's, one thing I continue to struggle with and learn about because I'm naturally wired to kind of be curious and a pleaser and say yes to a lot of things.
Yeah, there is so much value in being a yes man, yes woman, in that it opens up doors and opportunities. You get to meet new people, but then you get to a point where you know your craft and you know what lights you up. So now it's like saying yes to the things that you know you're going to excel in, that's going to help, your clients in the most way. But yeah, I'm the same way. I say yes to everything. But I'm learning to say no because it can be a lot, right?
I think the way to change, the way to learn is to read good books. That's why I've leaned into writing books. But a book recommendation for the audience is the book Essentialism, because that is will give you a framework for how to do exactly what you're talking about. It's very good. It's by Greg McGowan.
Amazing. So what are you doing now then? You've had this crazy career, this amazing experience. So what are you doing now?
I write a newsletter called the Digital Leader Newsletter. I think I told you before we got on air here that I would write it if nobody read it, because it's my forcing function and kind of journaling mechanism for like a thought that I think is important. But you can sign up for free at Substack, the Digital Leader Newsletter. I do kind of a set of keynotes, workshops, and some client advisory work to work with leaders who have ambition, like they want to build a durable business. And so I work with them in a variety of ways. I might or might not be working on a next book, some early, what I call kind of wet paint, being done on that. I'm fortunate to live a very balanced life. And so I get more than adequate exercise and find time to read a lot and do some things like that.
I love that. Yeah, we were talking a little bit about your relaxed life with your family life, and that's amazing.
Well, relaxed is not how I would frame it and everything. I would frame it as balanced and everything,
Okay.
right? But we get a lot of stuff done and everything, meaning like new experiences, hard work, doing some cool projects and everything, but it is across my entire life, not just my job.
I love that. So talk to us about Big Bet Leadership, your newest book.
So the subtitle of it, I think, is important, which is your transformation playbook for winning in the hyper-digital era. So we wrote this book for senior leaders and the teams that serve senior leaders. Doesn't matter company size, but senior leadership, to give them, we talked a little bit about you need that dual two-sided playbook, right? You need to be both a great operator and a systematic transformation. This book is specifically for that systematic transformer. My other books, The Amazon Way and Think Like Amazon, are for both the operator and the transformer. Big Bet Leadership is a very both inspirational, like here's what you need to believe in, here's the principles, but then tactical, here's the things to do to put that principle into play. Playbook for senior leaders to develop these transformational capabilities. We kept it very tight. It's a nice lean book, but with book purchase, you get a free set of really great kind of tools, frameworks, a Big Bet GPT, a set of highly engineered prompts to help you do these things. And so the book comes with a whole set of kind of post-book implementation aids to help you put it into practice.
Yeah, the implementation part is so important. You can know everything, but until you start embodying it, like nothing's gonna change.
Yeah, people think that learning is about knowing something, right? Learning is actually changing your practice. That's when something is learned, is when you actually do something different, to your point. And I know so many, classic book smart, but poor people who can't change their habits no matter how much they recognize the need to do it and everything. Oh my God, the number of my clients who want to have this new way of thinking, this new set of disciplines, this new set of practices, but they cannot control their natural habits. I should have, I studied engineering, I should have studied psychology, because I think that that's the real insights that I need to help my clients. Like, you need to individually change if we are going to change this system.
You just recognized maybe you need a new part, a partner who is good at that, and then you two could be like the power team.
Maybe if somebody listens to this podcast and is that person, please reach out, because I think you're right.
Yeah, it's 100%. You hit the nail on the head. It's the unlearning that people find challenging.
Yeah, I agree. And especially in moments of kind of high stakes moments, high stakes decisions, a little bit of stress, then you really revert back into your pre-wired normal orientation. We have a whole chapter in Big Bet Leadership about high stakes decisions, right? Like, okay, you're in a big bet. What do you do? And that chapter is all about recognizing the moment, recognizing that all of these biases and habits are going to come into play, and then how to deal with those. And it's all about preparation and running the right type of meeting and understanding your role as a leader that helps avoid the travesty and natural orientation of leaders making the wrong decisions at the wrong moments, because these are high stakes situations.
Right. Yes. Oh my gosh. People under pressure, right? That's a skill in itself.
I agree completely. I completely.
Yeah. So where can people, look you up and find your stuff and learn more about you? I
Well, I
know you
mean,
agreed to do a series with us.
I'm on all the platforms and everything, but the best way is probably LinkedIn, John Rossman. My website is bigbetleadership.com or johnrossman.com. I'm pretty easy to find and everything, but reach out through any of those, and I do my own email. You won't get handled by a handler and everything. So when you get an email from me, it's actually these hands doing the writing.
I love that because there's so much AI stuff going on these days and
Well, and just,
assistance and
farmed out handlers, and everything, right? And that's not how I operate. I like making an impact for business leaders who really want to win, and everybody else can just buy a book and think that they're on their path.
Funny because as you were speaking, I literally thought to myself, I bet you this guy responds to his own emails. What is something that you would like to leave the audience with before we say goodbye to you today? I know you we talked about the series and you sticking around, and I'm so excited because the audience is going to absolutely love you. You're just you've got this energy and this light about you that's just it's magnetic. But what is something you want to leave our audience with?
So my favorite part of writing these books is I start each chapter with a quote that I think kind of captures the essence or the lesson of it. And there's one chapter in Big Bet Leadership, and the quote has become kind of like the recognition of my own challenge in my own life and everything. And I think it kind of captures the essence of a lot of this conversation. And the quote is by Michelangelo, who's a 16th century artist and Renaissance person. And he said, "The bigger risk is not that we aim too high and miss our mark. It's that we aim too low and hit it." And that is a reminder to me, like, we should have ambition. Ambition is good. It is not bad. Having ambition is good. That's where everything starts from. Everything that's been built has started with somebody having the ambition to do it. And I think that the solving of our social challenges, our government problems, our business problems, our individual problems, start with recognizing that ambition is good and not penalizing it anymore. So that would be maybe my final thought for today's conversation is that ambition is good. And I think that too many of us are wired in the other way. That's what I personally have to remind myself of all the time, which is, kind of the Amazon mantra of, think big and work backwards from that.
Gosh, thank you so much for being here today, for sharing all of that with us.
Absolutely, Lisa. I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Yeah, me too. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. You just heard from John Rossman, and he really hit the nail on the head. It is not a bad thing to have ambition. It's just finding the right people to help you along the way. And he seems like someone that would genuinely be able to help. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Take care, everyone.